We're here on Daf Pei Vov Amud Aleph, 17 lines down from the top of the Amud. Shoal Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh es Rabbi Loza ben Azariah Baromi. There's a question here that is being asked by Rav Masya ben Chorosh, who is the Rosh Hashiva in Romi, of Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. Shamato arba chiluke kapora. Shahoya Rav Yishmol Dorish. Did you hear about the four categories of kapora which Rav Yishmol taught? Omar and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah respond, Shloshahein Ushuva imkol echad viechad. There are, in fact, only three chiluke kapara, and tshuva accompanies and is a prerequisite for each one of those three kaparos. So in effect, although tshuva can be classified as a machaper, and that would round off the number to four, nevertheless, it stands on its own, independent of the other three, insofar as the other three require tshuva as an accompaniment. And tshuva, on the other hand, can be mechaper on its own. So whereas the other three require tshuva, tshuva stands on its own. And therefore, it doesn't make sense, says Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, to count tshuva as one of the chiluke kapara. Chiluke kapara mean already entail tshuva and presuppose tshuva. The language of Rashi in Dibra Maskel Omar Lo Sholosh Hein Hanechlokim Sheyesh Averishi Tzrichol Ezeh Vein Tzrichol Ezeh Aval tshuva Eino Min HaChilukim Shehi Tzrichol Lekulon. As we said before, since tshuva is necessary and is a requirement in each one of the other three, it doesn't make sense to count tshuva as itself one of the chiluke kapar. This is the interpretation of Rashi. However, we find a different interpretation in the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is in Hilchas Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalid. And the Kesef Mishnah writes the following. Avral Essay, these are the three Chiluki Kapara. The first of which is Avral Essay, is Tshuva L'chud Mechaperes. Avral Lo Saseh, Tshuva Yom HaKippur Mechaperim. Avral Akrisu Mises Pesnin, Tshuva Yom HaKippur V'Yisur Mechaperim. Chil Hashem, since it needs every single one of the other Mechaperim, it requires both tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, Yisurim, and Misa. Therefore, it's not counted as one of the Chiluke Kapara. In other words, the Chiluke Kapara indicate that, let's take for example the last case of Avral Krisus and Mises Bezdin, that there is a possibility of kapara without misa. Chil Hashem requires misa in order to achieve kapara, and that puts it into a separate category. So whereas Rashi seems to take tshuva out of the list of four, the Kesef Mishnah takes Chil Hashem out of the list of four. In any event, let's go through the Chiluke Kapara as Rabbi Loza ben Azariah presented it. Avar al esei vishav, eno zaz misham achemochelo. The first category is the kal. This is the most lenient one, and that's the case of Mitzvah's esei. Here, tshuva is enough. and he doesn't move from the spot, so to speak, figuratively, meaning there's no need for anything else. He's guaranteed, he clinched his mechila immediately. I don't know why the Gemara used the word mechila here as opposed to kaparva. Shenemar, shuvu bonim shovvim, and the end of that pasuk is erpa mishuvo sechem, hinenu asonulach ki ata Hashem elokeinu, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Now, how does this pasuk indicate that mitzvos asei are subject to a kapar of tshuva without the need for any other mechaper? And l'chora, the way Rashi seems to say it, shuvu bonim umiyad arape, meaning that tshuva is alone, because immediately arape, which is a reference to mechila, lamadata sheyesh avera shemechaperes b'tshuva levada. There's got to be some avera that tshuva is an independent mechaper, and it makes sense logically to assume that that's going to be the lowest or the most lenient avera that you could possibly violate, which is the case of a mitzvah aseh. So when the Torah, when the Tanakh says shuvu bodim shovavim, it means, shovavim means mardim, and tashuva elai bodim mardim, come to do tshuva those who are rebellious, and al yidei kach, through that tshuva, eslach lachem, I will forgive you. So once again, even though the pasuk doesn't in any way spell out that we're talking about mitzvah aseh, nevertheless it's logical to assume the pasuk is referring to the most kal of all the averis, and the avera kal of the yoser is going to be mitzvah aseh. That's the way Rashi seems to learn the sugya. There is another possibility of saying that the word refu itself is a reference to slicha, and it's sort of like a borrowed term, like you find two types of injuries or diseases. You have a physical injury, and the healing process is called refuah. You can also have a spiritual disease, so to speak, through sin, and the refuah in that case is slicha, and all you need in order to achieve that refuah is shuvu bonim shovvim, means tshuva alone. So that's the lowest category. We're going to soon see that the next category, as we go menakal lachomor, is mitzvah losas. Although you should know that the Ramban, in his commentary on Parshas Yisro, in the section about Zochar Yom Shabbos Lekadsho, the Ramban speaks about esei dochalosa, said that the esei, which is fulfilling the will of the king, is that much greater than avoiding a losase. And in that sense, the esei outweighs the losase, and therefore it trumps the losase. But nevertheless, that's only as far as fulfilling the esei is concerned. But in terms of violation, there's no question that the violation of a losase, when the king tells you not to do something and you went ahead and do it, that's a lot worse than if the king asked you to do something and you didn't do it. The losase is more chomer than the esei. Avar alosa seviyasa tshuva tshuva tola v'yom hakipurim mechaper. Now we'll soon see the derivation, but let's understand what the word tola means. What exactly does tshuva accomplish in the case of losase? And one way of going is to say that it pushes off the punishment, meaning a person, in the case of a losase, should be punished. I mean, that's true in the case of esei as well, but tshuva did the job. Tshuva's not doing the job, at least not totally, in the case of a losase, which is more chamur. But what does tshuva accomplish? Because the Brisa says tshuva tola, it must be staving off the punishment, at least postponing the punishment. And therefore, at this point, he will not suffer. And what are we waiting for? The Yom HaKippur Mechaper, and the Kapar will come with Yom HaKippur. So let's say, for example, he violates an Avera in the month of Cheshvan, and he does tshuva in the month of Kislev, and we're talking about a losasa from Kislev until the following Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishrei, the next round, which is a full 10 months down the line, he will be protected from punishment as a result of his tshuva. However, the complete kapara, in which the chait and its punishment is wiped out, that only happens on Yom HaKippur. So now we see that the Torah is defining Yom Kippur as a day of kapara. That's the very essence of the day, Yom HaZeh Yechapra Aleichem. And Mikol Chatoseichem means even those chatoim which tshuva alone could not do the job. Again, we're going to need tshuva plus Yom HaKippur, because we're not accepting the shita of Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Anossi, who's of the opinion that Yom HaKippur is mechaper bein l'shav bein shalein l'shav. We're assuming Yom HaKippurim is only mechaper for a shav, and the discrepancy here between tshuva and Yom HaKippurim, meaning that window of time, is the state of tola in which tshuva is effective enough to push off punishment, but the kapara doesn't come into being until Yom HaKippur. Now, would there be a chiv to do tshuva again on Yom HaKippur for the same avera? That's a very interesting question. Meaning, the fact that he did tshuva back in Kislev, does that bring him through Yom HaKippurim, you know, the full 10 months later, with a built-in and automatic kapara of Yom HaKippurim, even though he doesn't even think about the avera on Yom HaKippurim? He already did tshuva on that avera, but maybe Yom HaKippurim is Kates Mechilu Slichu Yisrael and Chayev Kol Adam Lashem B'tshuva, even on averas that he's already done tshuva. He has to repeat that process of tshuva for those very same averas. So Mirtz Hashem, we hope to come back to that question. So in any event, now we have two madregos. I'm not sure if they're chiluke kapara, that depends on Rashi and Kesavishta, but we have essays and we have losases. Now, with regard to losases, we can always break up losases into different categories, into subcategories. Losase is an umbrella organization that includes within it many different members and many different groups. You have a losase like losisa, shem Hashem l'shav, where the Torah says lo yinake. And that would probably be the most severe of all the losases, and we discussed it in the previous year here on Daf Pei Vav and on the previous Daf Pei Hei Omid Beis. You go down one madrega, one notch, and you get to losases sheish ben malchus, until finally you reach the lowest level of losases she'ein ben malchus. Now the impression we get from this brisa is that when we're talking about Yom HaKippurim completing the kapara process for losases, we're talking about all losases, barring krisus umisus bezdin, which is going to be the next category. But anything below that is all one unit, one entity, miksha achas, and it's subject to the kapara of Yom HaKippur. Then we get to the next level. Avar al krisos umisus bezdin yasin tshuva tshuva Yom HaKippurim tolim v'isurim mimarkin. Now we have a combination of tshuva and Yom HaKippurim. We've achieved both, but we're still not, you know, we still haven't, circled all the bases. We may be up to third base, but we need Yisurim. And the word is Yisurim Memarkin. So what we have here is Tshuva V'Yom HaKippurim. Now, the Rashash points out that Tshuva V'Yom HaKippurim Tolim, it's very difficult to assume that the word Tolim here means to prevent him from suffering Yisurim, because in actuality he needs Yisurim. And without Yisurim he won't be able to complete the Kapara process. So the question is how to interpret the word Tolin here in this case. And it seems like there are many different possible ways of interpreting this word Tolin with regard to Krisos Umisos Bezdin. Let's go through some of the various possibilities. So we're looking here at an overview of these three possibilities in the Yalkut Biurim. He has one in the name of the Meiri that Tolin means Lahakel Olav Mea Onish. Somehow Tshuva with Yom Kippurim is enough to engender a partial kapara, in which case his punishment is lightened, the sentence is lightened. It's like you have a criminal case that's being judged in the courts, and there's a jury and there's the prosecutor and the defense attorney. There's the not only the jury but of course the judge, and sometimes what they do is that they see that the criminal is remorseful about his sin, and therefore they reduce his punishment. They give him a partial clemency. And that's what's going on here with the case of Chayvei Krisus, etc., when he did tshuva and he experienced Yom HaKippurim. There's a tolin situation in which, although there will be yisurin, there'll be less yisurin. In essence, we're talking about something quantitative, not qualitative. The second interpretation is the Rimi Lonil, and he says the word tolin here means it prevents him from death. And the premise here is that once he's chai of kares or Mises Bezdin, he should die, and his death might be a divinely brought about death. Again, the fact that he did tshuva is not going to alleviate his chai of Mises Bezdin from him. But there may be a misa that could take place even earlier than that, especially it fits like a glove in the case of Chayvei Krisus, that the chiv misa of dying early, for example, will be reduced, will actually be removed. So what happens with Yisurim? Yisurim Mimarkin. That's the cleansing process, that's the Gemar Kapar. Now, does it mean, according to the Rimi Lunil, that he will not suffer death, even though he's chayav Mises Bezdin? The Gemara later on, with regard to Chil Hashem, says Elakulon Tolim, and Tolim there means that his life is in the balance, is sort of hanging in the balance. If he does complete Shuva, then he'll be spared. If he doesn't do tshuva, he'll die. That seems to be the implication. It would seem that the word tolin, according to Milunil, means that yes, he will die, but his tshuva and Yom HaKippurim benefited him and were effective in the sense that he won't die immediately. His death has been postponed. And it could be that now Hashem will have mercy on him, and through Yisurim will bring a Gemar Kapara and alleviate him of the Chi of Misa. The third interpretation we have here is in the name of the Ben Yehoyada, and he claims that the word Tolin means that although on the one hand his sins have not been cleansed, but nevertheless those sins have lost some of their potency, and the nafkamina is going to be by reducing the level of the sin, the cheftz of the avera, it is no longer mitztaref im shar avonos ha'olam. You remember that God judges the entire world, and that judgment is the aggregation of all the different sins of mankind. An individual who was chayv kares and underwent sincere tshuva and Yom HaKippurim, his chait is no longer a chait as far as the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Welt, on the world in general. So it's not mitztarif im avonos ha'olam. And then finally, we get to the last level. Oh, let's just see the pasuk for this. Shenemar ufakadati b'shevet pisham uvenegoyim avonam. So we're talking here about a pasuk in Tehillim. which indicates that I will use the shevet, that's the stick, to punish those pshayim, those sins, and al yidei negoyim alavona, val yidei negoyim alavonam, right, the pasuk says, ubinegoyim avonam, hainu sheish averish etzrichim li surim, kidelis kaper. So negoyim here is a reference to yisurim. Rashi says, Lamadita Sheyesh Averish Etzrichim Yisurim Umistavra Hakal Lakala Vachomer Lachomer. So again, Rashi's addressing the same question that we saw before. How does this pasuk teach us anything about Chayvei Krisus, Chayvei Mises Bezdin? It just says Upakadati B'Shevet Pisham. But the answer is that since the Torah is being very machmir here, and is postponing kapara until binagoyim avonim, until he suffers yisurim, it must be a more severe avera. So we keep using this far again. We've gone up from the kal to the chamur, meaning from the essay to the losaseh. And the losaseh requires yom kippur. And now we're requiring yisurim when we get to the level of binagoyim avonim, which must be referred to something more chomer than losa. As we started with essay, went to losa. What's the next rung on the ladder as far as strictly as the severity of the avera? And the answer is krisus umisus based. And finally, afal misha yesh chil Hashem biyado, if his sin reaches the proportions of chil Hashem, and Rashi has a very interesting interpretation here, chote umachti acherim, it has a causative effect on others, bringing them down, because they will imitate your sin, is then, ein koach b'tshuva, that's Girsa Yishuza, but ein koach b'tshuva litlos, v'lo b'yom ha-kipurim l'chap v'lo b'yisum l'morek, ela kulon tolin umisa mimarekes. In the case of Chil Hashem, which is the most severe of all the averis here on our list, we need not only tshuva and Yom HaKippurim and Yisurim, even the combination of all these three elements are not sufficient to engender a kapara. The gemar, the complete cleansing of the avera, only takes place with misa. Shenemar, and here the gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi, v'nigla v'ozne Hashem tzvakos, im yechupar ha'ovan hazeh lochem ad temusun. Rashi says, bi'oznei Hashem tzvakos, omar ha'novi bi'oznei omar ha'kodesh baruch hu, I personally heard it from Hashem, im yechupar ha'ovan ad temusun, that there are certain averas, apparently, that will not be atoned for until the death of the violator. Lomadito, says Rashi, sheyesh avera she'ein lo kapara ela b'misa. And since we know that Chil Hashem is most chomer of all the averas, therefore it must be a reference to chote umachti, to Chil Hashem, which it's not sufficient to have tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, and Yisurim. You need misa. So again, Rashi is learning that there's no Raya from the Pasuk, in this case, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi in Perkov Bey, is that this is a reference to Chil Hashem, but we're using the same logic, since it's the Aver Chamur Bioser, then there's no other Kapara other than Misa. That's the Svara that Rashi's operating with. The Marsha claims that there's something in the Psukim themselves in Yeshayah that indicate that we're talking specifically about the Avera of Chil Hashem. The pasuk itself is referencing Chil Hashem. So again, we end up with three chiluki kapara. We have Yom HaKippurim, we have Yisurim, Misa, Tshuva is not counted as a chiluk, even though Tshuva can be mechaper, but nevertheless, in the case of Mitzvah Aseh, but nevertheless, each one of these other mechaprim, the three mechaprim that we have of Yom HaKippurim, Yisurim, and Misa, is Tzarkam Tshuva. Each one has to be accompanied by tshuva. Good. Now, we haven't yet started the sugya of Chil Hashem. That's what I'd like to do in this shiur, and discuss the case of Chil Hashem. But I would, before we go on, I would like to make the following comment. There are many statements in Chazal which seem to indicate that tshuva alone could be mechaper on any avera, which is a little bit antithetical to what we're learning here. And in fact, there are sugyas and gemaras that say the Talmud Torah, the involvement in Torah study, will protect a person from yisurim, from suffering for his, as punishment for his sins. So, in effect, there's more to the story of mechila than what meets the eye over here. And Bli Neder, if you're interested, we'll mention in the next year more sources that go into detail about, including Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way, in Shari Tshuva, that indicate other possible ways of achieving kapara and not having to, you know, to be sovel, to suffer all these things like yisurim and misa. Now, how do we know that Chil Hashem requires another machaper, which in this case is misa? The pasuk says, "V'nigla v'oznei Hashem tzvakos im yichupar ovam." Now, we've already seen Rashi that the Navi is claiming that he heard from Hashem the ad to Musun that there won't be any kapara until death. The Marsha writes that it would seem from the pasuk that we're talking about Chil Hashem because it says Ha'avon Hazeh, and if you look earlier in the same chapter in Yeshayahu Navi, it says Vehine Sason V'Simcha Harog Boker V'Shasotzon Ki Machar Namus, and that means that after the Navi has given them so much tochacha with all that rebuke, they responded by saying yes, as if to say they accepted everything that the Navi said to them in a very somber and sobering way, but as a matter of fact, they weren't paying any attention to his tochach, to his rebuke, and therefore that's Chil Hashem. So the Marsha wants to add this embellishment that we're talking in the context of this pasuk about Chil Hashem. All right, what is Chil Hashem in this context? Hechi domi Chil Hashem, the Gemara asks. Amar Rav kegona na, in my situation, ishakilna bisra mitabacha, if I purchase meat from the butcher, v'lo yehivne domi lialtin, I don't pay the price and hand over the money immediately. That itself is Chil Hashem. In other words, When a gava rabba, somebody who's a Torah giant, doesn't pay up, that creates a Chil Hashem, because when a person, and in this case Rav, doesn't pay up, then the butcher who's selling him, and again I don't think it has to be a case of a butchery with meat, but he says, he begins his mind to think, oh boy, this fellow's a gazlan. Why isn't this rabbi not paying me back? And where's the chotu machti element here? So some of the mefarshim say that if the Adam Gadol is not paying his debts, then there's a zilzal here in the aver of gzela, you know, so your money is my money and I can put my hand into your pocket. And this is a chotei umachti situation. People can be very lighthearted about the isa gzela. Fine. Omar Abaye, lo shanu elo bi asra delo tavi. The only time that Rav's statement that if I don't pay up immediately, I am in violation of Chil Hashem is applicable only bi asra delo tavi, in a place where the tabach, the butcher, doesn't knock on the door of his customers and say, payday, you know, it's time It's time to pay up. In other words, in a place, in a locale where the minig is that the lokeach, the buyer himself, comes forward to pay on his own initiative because the seller is not going to be tovea. It's in that area, it's not the derech for the butcher to go to every one of his buyers, of his clients, and ask, you know, and ask them to pay that which they owe. But rather, as we said before, the lekuchos, the clients, come forward on their own to pay. And in such a case, the payment could tolerate a little delay. And therefore, if Rav were to wait a while, again, not endlessly, but postpone payment to the butcher, presumably he has a good reason for that. And that's not Chil Hashem, because we're talking about a case of Asra Delo Tavi, which means we're talking about a locale where the Tabach doesn't go to locale, but the locale comes to the seller. And in this case, apparently, again, the different girsos in the Gemara, but if we're going to read the girsos as we read it now, this is Chil Hashem, because why isn't Rav taking the initiative to come over to the Tabach and pay up his bills? In other words, really, the Tabach, the seller here in this case, is relying on the good intention, the goodwill of his clients. And in the case of someone as great as Rav, if he doesn't pay up his bills immediately, you know, people are going to start thinking, maybe he's not even going to pay up at all. So Rashi Dibra Maskel Bi Asra She'ein Derech HaTabach Leilech L'Tvoa HaKafosov, meaning his debts that are due to him, accrue to him, V'alokech L'Havilo Ma'osov L'Beiso. Lokech actually knocks on the door of the seller and delivers the money, the payment. In such a case, there's an element of Chil Hashem. Again, other people, for someone who's not an Odom Gadol, it would not be Chil Hashem. But in the case of an Odom Gadol, people are suspecting him, they're talking about him, there's a level of Chil Hashem. Now, what about the other case? And that is the Asra. I will be Asra de Tavi, where the Tabach comes around and collects, you know, the money that's due to him, let's say on a weekly basis, less lanba. If Rav would not pay up immediately, that's not even a chashash of Chil Hashem, because basically what the Tabach is saying is that until I go and actually knock on someone's door, you know, it's okay. You don't have to pay me. I'll come to collect from you. The Rambam seems to have a different interpretation of this Gemara. The Rambam is in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Perek Hey, Halacha Yud Aleph. And the Rambam writes that Chil Hashem is when the Chacham buys something and he doesn't pay immediately, and he has money to pay, and the sellers are knocking on his door saying, buddy, here's your bill, pay up. So it means, according to the Rambam, Dafka, when the mocher, the seller, comes to collect his money, that's when we have Chil Hashem. But again, with the following proviso, that the mocher is coming around to collect his debt, and the chacham, in this case, the gadol, has the money to pay, but wants to postpone payment. Again, I'm not sure the details over here, because it would seem that al pi din, in such a place, the lokeach certainly has to pay up. And we're talking about, again, has to pay up me ikra din, forget about Chil Hashem, because of the laws of monetary transactions. So since in Dini Mominos, the mocher has every right to demand payment for the sale, you know, live up to your obligation, your chov, therefore, if Lokeach doesn't pay immediately, and he has the money to pay, it's not onus rachman apache, if he doesn't have the money, that's one thing, but he has the money, but he wants to delay payment, is that itself is a kind of chil Hashem. Whereas again, if we looked in Rashi's gear, so Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara would be that as long as the Tovea has not yet come around to knock on his door, then he's got that extra time period. And there's no Iser of non-payment of a Chov when he delays payment. So again, just to summarize, Rashi has the girsa that lo shanel biyasid lo tavi, that we're talking about a place where the mocher does not come and knock on your door, and if you don't, if the talmid chacham and the chassid doesn't pay back immediately on his own, that creates a kind of chil Hashem, he's being mezalzel in the isur gezel. The Rambam learns that we're not talking about this asra, that asra, this kind of place, that kind of place, but rather we're talking about a case where the mocher is being tovea the lokeach. That's in actuality what's happening. And the lokeach is, even though he has the funds, is not willing to cough them over and pay the mocher. Im ha-mochrim tovim oso havichil Hashem im lo poreim yad. That's what the Rambam is saying. That the mocher is being toveya, the lokeach is not paying up, he has the wherewithal to do so, he's not crying poverty, and he fails to pay up. That itself is chil Hashem. That's the Rambam Shita. And the Kesefishta rewrites the text for the Rambam, that the Rambam's girsa in the Gemara is just the opposite. Lo shanuel biyasa de tovi, in a place where the mocher is knowing to be tovea, and the mocher was tovea, avol biyasa de lo tovi leslan ba. In a place where the mocher is not coming around to demand payment, therefore, if mocher didn't come around to do so, that's not chil Hashem if he doesn't pay him immediately. Only when the mocher comes around. You know, in Rashi's frame of reference, the girsa is just the opposite. In a place where the mocher does not come around, that's where this chil Hashem. Whereas according to the Rambam, it's dafka because the mocher came around at this chil Hashem. In Rashi's frame of reference, the fact that the mocher is relying totally on the lokeach to take the initiative and come and pay him, and this Adam Gadol is refusing to do so, he's dilly-dallying, that creates a zilzul, that's a chote umachti. The Tosus Yom HaKippurim, which is one of the great achronim on the Masechet Yoma that we've quoted numerous occasions, he understands Rambam, that the Rambam indeed has our girsa, but you have to know a little bit of the sociology. Most butchers, when they sell meat, they sell it bahakofa, which means on credit. And at the end of a week, they go around and knock on doors of all those people who bought meat and didn't pay up, and they demand payment. So Abai is saying, according to the Rambam's understanding of the Gemara, lo shanel bi'asr de lo tavi, which is exactly how Girsa. And it means that the Tabach doesn't usually come around to be Tovea, which means that he won't be Tovea more than once. He'll come at the end of a week to be Tovea, but he's not going to come a second time a week later. That's the first case. But be Asra Shederch Litvoa Shuv achar shavua beis ein zechil Hashem. But if we're talking about a place where the tovea comes around every week, at the end of the week he looks at his books and he sees who owes the money and he goes around to collect them, then there's no chil Hashem. So the Rambam himself is talking about a place where the accepted custom is for the seller to demand payment after the first week, but he doesn't demand payment after the second week. And that's called the Asra Delo Tavi. And in such a case, there's Chil Hashem. And why is that Chil Hashem? Because since the Mocher is not going to come around after the first week, if the Lokeach, in this case, the great scholar Rav, does not pay up immediately after the first week, then it's a Chil Hashem, because, you know, a week went by, he was Toveyu, and you're still not paid up. That's a Chil Hashem. Number one. Then we have the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, wait a minute. Before we get to Rabbi Yochanan, I'm so sorry. We have the statement of Abaye. Abaye kiddush shakal bisra mitrei shutfi. Oh, yeah, again, I apologize. Ravina says that Mata Machasya is an asra de tavi. According to Abaye, when you buy meat and the butchery is owned by two partners, so if you pay one of the two partners, the other partner is unaware of that, and he may suspect you of non-payment on the meat. And therefore Abaye suggested that the only way he, Abaye, could circumvent this problem is Yoyev Zuzo Lahai V'Zuzo Lahai. He would actually pay each one of the shutfim the full price of the meat that he bought. So even, you know, that guarantees that one of the shutfim will... I'm sorry, let me say it in the positive. That will guarantee that both shutfim will know that the chov and the meat was paid for. Then he says, "Vahadar makariv lu gabi adad." But now he's paid twice the amount that he's supposed to pay because he wanted to make sure that he should would know that he paid. So therefore, the Gemara says that later on, makariv lehu gabi adadi. Once we get them together, the ovid chush benaya, and they make a cheshbon. The mocher in the presence of Lokeach tells him exactly how much Lokeach owed him. The Lokeach, for his part, will respond how much was already paid up. And what's going to become clear is that the buyer paid actually twice. Now the Rambam writes that in such a case... I'm sorry, not the Rambam. Rashi says in such a case, Shema lo yoda chaver shenosav lo v'yesh kan chil Hashem v'yovid chush b'nai v'chozrim v'nosnim lo bosar k'neged mashenosav. In other words, he's not going to get a refund. Abai is going to only be allowed to demand twice as much meat, two zuzim's worth meat instead of one zuzim's worth of meat. But I found this Rashi a little bit odd. I'm not sure why Rashi is compelled to say that. I mean, why not just say, give him back the one zuz, you know, now that they're making the cheshbon. Okay, now we get to Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, Omar, what's Chil Hashem kigona na de mazgina arva amas below Torah below tefillin. I walk 4 hours in public without studying Torah, without wearing my tefillin, and that's a Chil Hashem, because people are going to think that he's being mevatel from Talmud Torah. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan would do such a thing is because he's exhausted. He doesn't have the koach to study Torah. He's just, his back is breaking from all the Torah that he studied. But the onlooker is not aware of that. He begins to suspect that, in this case, Rabbi Yochanan is being mezalzel in the midst of Talmud Torah, and he's battling. When in truth, that's not at all true. Rabbi Yochanan was very weak in his learning because of the physical problems that he had. But not everybody knows that. Now, on this, there's an etziv that I wanted to show you. He has a slightly different approach to this sugya of Rabbi Yochanan. Because the Netziv is bothered by Lechora, a different a different impression that you get from the Gemara in Sukkah Chav Ches. The Gemara says about the greatness and the special unique nature of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he never would walk Dalet Amos without Torah below Tefillin. So that's a very exceptional darga. So therefore Rabbi Yochanan has to feel that if he didn't go for Amos with Torah and Tefillin, then it's a Chilul Hashem. So the Nitziv in Hemek Shela gives the following answer. He says, that which Rabbi Yochanan says, Kigon Anoa Damaski Dalet Amos Lo Torah B'Tefillin, what he meant to say is that if he goes for Amos without Tefillin and without Torah, without both of them. And when a person walks, B'Lech Chav HaDerech, he's got two choices. Either he's Mitoch Hirur Shel Torah, he's thinking about Torah, or at least he's wearing Tefillin. But if he goes for Amos without Torah and without Tefillin, then, says the Nitziv, there's an element of Chilul Hashem. So basically, according to the Nitziv, if somebody wants to avoid this Chilul Hashem, then when he goes, he's got two choices. Either he's being Mahar in Divrei Torah, or he's wearing Tefillin. In both cases, he's got Emas Shamayim Olah. He's got the fear of heaven. And therefore, he's doing great. But if somebody is missing both Torah and Tefillin, that's already, in the case of a Gavaraba, that's already a Chilul Hashem. The Gemara goes on to elaborate on this. Yitzchak Dibei Rav Yanei Omar, he was in the Beis Medrash of Rav Yanei, Kol Shechaverov Misbaishim Machmat Shmuaso, is that's considered Chilul Hashem. If a bad reputation is going out about him because people are suspecting him of doing things, because he was always on the border, you know, he was on the edge, and people started assuming, you know, they start schmoozing with each other and speaking Lashon Hara until he got a bad reputation because they're assuming he did something bad. And what's the barometer of ruining a reputation? It's when Chaver Misbaishim Machmash was, you know, this is your friend and he has such a bad name. Like, who are you hanging around with? And why can't you straighten him out? That's Chilul Hashem. When people are going to say that because his reputation is really lousy. Imagine if you heard the following expression from one of the people. Let HaKadosh Baruch be mochel. The Yotzer should be mochel this person for his actions. I mean, that's spreading a very bad reputation because, you know, may God help him. You know, it means he's really in bad shape. And that terrible reputation is real Chilul Hashem. Person has to be very careful about what he does, because if it's misinterpreted, if he does something in a very ambiguous way, then there's chashad, and people will be motzi laz about him, and that constitutes Chilul Hashem. Abaye Omar Kirisanya, Fiahavtos Hashem Elokecha, Shehei Shem Shemai Misayev Al Yodcha. I don't know if this Brisa sees something odd about the syntax of the pasuk, and there's a drasha here, or it means just that if you love God, you want everyone else to love Him as well. And if Hashem Shemai Misayev Al Yodcha, whatever you do, the name of God becomes more and more beloved. You know, people say, wow, I want to be like Him. He got the training. He is beloved. Shehei korei v'shono m'shanish talmidei chachomim v'yei maso matono v'nachas im abrios. This person who wants to fulfill the ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, he becomes a protege, he becomes a stagir at the feet of one of the great talmidei chachomim. He wants to learn exactly how the lamdusha, you know, concepts of shah, that on the shas operate. And if such a person who's like yeshiva bach, he's learning, he's studying, he's being mishavish tamid chacham to learn from them about the Talmud, and such a person during his working hours is maso matano benachas mabrios. You know, under work conditions, there's so much pressure and high tension that it's almost foreseeable that there's going to be some sort of exchange of very harsh words, and people raise the tone of their voices. So now we're talking about Kiddush Hashem. We're talking about an individual, despite all the pressure, he's able to speak calmly to the Brios. And the proof of the pudding is, Va Brios Omer's love, how do they praise this person? Ashrei Aviv Shalimdo Torah, Ashrei Rabo Shalimdo Torah. How fortunate it is for a father or a Rebbe to have such a son or a Talmud. It's such a beautiful individual. They may even go a step further and declare woe to the other creatures that God created that did not study Torah. Ploni shalama Torah re'u kama noim drachav. So and so studied Torah. And he had the opportunity to study. Others never had the opportunity. But he had the opportunity to study Torah. And re'u, take a look, kama noim drachav. Meaning, his approach to life is so pleasant, is so laid back, if you will, in a positive sense. I mean, it's a derech of chayim, it's a derech of being soft-spoken with people, of reaching out to people. And then, kama misukonim myself, look at the way he does his actions. He employs his actions with such meticulous concern about every last minute detail, because he wants to make sure that he's doing it right. No one, chasom, is hurt by him, even slighted by him in the slightest way. And all of HaKosef Omer, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya to describe such a person. Vayomer li avdi ata Yisrael asher b'cha espoir. In other words, b'cha espoir means that through you, my name, says Hashem, the Shem Shamayim is misahev umispoir. Avol, and now we go to the opposite. Now we're going to talk about Chil Hashem. Misha Korev Shonei Mesham Shalmichom. He had all the education. He sits at the feet of one of the great scholars of the generation, and he's Mishamish. He learns the whole Lomdusha way of an approach and understanding methodology of the Talmud. But V'ein Masol Matonu Be'emuna, when he gets to financial interactions with people, he's lacking Emuna, which either means that he himself not honest in his business dealings. That's one way of saying his masumat is not bemuna. Emuna means honesty, truth. The other way of saying it, he tries to manipulate and get outdo all his competitors with this tray and that tray because he doesn't have emuna. He wants to take away, you know, clients from the next one in the competitive capitalistic market that we're familiar with, because he's afraid that he was not making enough money, or he wants to make all that other money. Where's his emunah in Hashem that whatever customers he's meant to have, he will have? The ein dibur benachas im habrios. He raises his voice. He doesn't speak softly with the people who he comes in contact with. Is my habrios? Some will have these. Oy lo leploni shlomit Torah. Oh, he studied Torah. Look what Torah did for him. Oy lo liyav shlomit Torah. The rabbi shlomit Torah. Ploni shlomit Torah. Ru kamakul kol ma'isav kamachorim drachav. Again, this. The double language of Maisov and Drachov that we spoke about earlier. Fi Olava Kosov Omer, when we read the entire Pasuk, Vaichalel, Vaichalelu Eshem Kodshi Be'mar Lehem Am Hashem Eile Umeartzom Yotzau. This is a Pasuk in Yechezkel. I know Rashi explains that when the people of Israel, who are the chosen people, suffer, and they are persecuted, and they go to Golis, etc., etc., people start saying, oh, what's going on? Why all this suffering? Or when a great man suffers. You know, the old theodicy question of Tzadik Viralo. And basically, the people are going to say, so what good was it in all the efforts he put in to studying Torah, or to be such a religious, pious person? Look what happens to him at the end. Look what's going on. They're suffering. Why isn't God bestowing reward upon them? That's a Chil Hashem. And if we take that as a Chil Hashem, then says Rashi, V'lo yachal atzil shal yiglu nimtza shem shemayim mischalel ukvodo mismayit. The chil Hashemir is a similar kind of chil Hashem, because no doubt if this person lives such a negative lifestyle, he has no masamat and bemunayim dibur v'nachasiris, etc., is he's going to suffer punishments, bo'ola paronios, and that's going to be a chil Hashem, because look what happens to your chachamim, look what happens to your great holy people, the chosen people. Look at the evil that befalls you, all the terrible things that happen to you, all the punishments that you suffer. That itself is a great chil Hashem. And then we have the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah in Perek Hey, Halachit Aleph, has a beautiful description that really is an overview of everything that we studied in this shiur about Chil Hashem. Let's read the Rambam inside. Yesh dvarim acherim shehem b'chlal Chil Hashem. Now, as an addition to someone who violates the Torah flagrantly without any benefits whatsoever, there's a deliberate act of rebellion against Hashem in order lahachis, that's chil shem shemayim. But in addition to that, hu sheyasa adam gadol b'torah mefursim mechsis dvarim shabriyos maranos achrayim b'shvim v'af pisha einom averis harei zechilas Hashem. Says the Rambam, we're talking about situations where there's no violation of an avera, yet because it's an Adam Gadol, we're talking about a great person. He's a wonderful scholar, one of the giants of the generation. He's well known for his piety, his religious dedication and devotion, and yet he does things, and the Brios start speaking about him. They started spreading rumors about him. He didn't do any averas, but you know, he did actions in a way that led people to the wrong conclusions. And by misinterpreting his actions, because of the ambiguity in those actions, they came to conclusions that he is mezalzel. And he gives the example, Kigon says the Rambam, Shalokeach v'enei nosim tbei alekach li'alter, he buys but he doesn't pay up. For who yesh lo, he has the money to pay. V'nimtzu amokrim tovim v'makifan. He's trying to avoid paying when the seller demands payment. That itself is going to engender brios maranos osachrav. And I, frankly speaking, my impression is the Rambam is not even talking about something public. The one who's going to be maranim is the seller. I don't know if he's publicizing it in the local, you know, splashing it on the local newspapers. This great Talmud Chof doesn't pay me, but he's thinking that this Talmud Chof is trying to steal or he's trying to swindle him. That thought, when it crosses the mind of the mocher, is itself a chil Hashem. Be careful. Pay up immediately. And we discussed how the Rambam squares with the various girsos. We mentioned the Kesavish has a different, it says the Rambam has a different girsos. That's the Kesavish right here in Alokhid Al. We also saw the Tosefes Yom HaKippur. Let's go on. The Rambam says, O sheyarba bischok ovachilu shesia itzal ame oretzu b'neyem. In the presence of those who are obviously on a lower level than he is, he laughs with banter and with frivolity that's to the extreme. He eats and he drinks, you know, in a gluttonous way, hanging out with these ameorets, like in a tavern or something like that. That's a chil Hashem. People are going to say, well, what kind of dedication does he have to Torah mitzvahs when all he does is joke around and fress and so forth and so on? It's a terrible chil Hashem. She'ein dibur b'nachas ma'brios. This is a little bit more reflective of what we saw in our sugya. The enam akbilam b'sever ponim yofos. He doesn't speak calmly and softly to people. He doesn't receive them with a smile. El bal k'tota v'kasi. He likes to fight with people, and he gets angry. V'chayotze b'dvarim akol lefi gadlo shel chacham. In other words, It's always going to be relative to the greatness of the Chacham. He should go beyond the letter of the law. Here, I think the Rambam is expanding his clientele for this halacha and including not only an Adam Gadol, the Torah, the first of the Chassidus, but even a lesser Chacham, but nevertheless, relative to the people that he's hanging out with, he is a Chacham. It's got to be very clear. People are looking up to him to set the pattern and set the tone. And if they're disappointed and they begin to to distort the actions of the Talmud Chacham in the right light. In such a case, that's a Chil Hashem, even for someone who's a Chacham, but he's not Gadol b'Torah Mefursa. And when the Rambam says, Yasa Lifnei Mishras HaDin, of course, everyone should do Lifnei Mishras HaDin, and bend over backwards for Yenim for the next one. But in the case of an Adam Gadol b'Torah, who's Mefursa b'Chassidus, it's absolutely compulsory, it's necessary to go Lifnei Mishras HaDin. And all this is the Rambam Bechil Hashem. Now the Rambam says V'chein, and he flips it onto the other side, the Kiddush Hashem side. In Digdei Kachacham Al Atzma V'yadibura V'nachasim Abrios V'daitim U'revis Imoyen U'makbila V'sever Panim Yofas. He basically, in his interpersonal relationships, he's a warm person. He embraces people. He reaches out to them. He speaks to them slowly and calmly, in a soothing sort of way. He offers them comfort. He's very much involved in what they are. He doesn't put himself aloof and say, well, I don't care about your silly, ridiculous things. Everything is important to him. And here the Rambam adds a gewaldige high madrig. He says, v'nelav mehem v'ein olva. Others will insult him and he doesn't respond with, you know, snap back, which is a natural tendency of revenge, you know, to try to insult them in return. That's a great madrig. Mechabed lahem afilu mekilu lo. And he gives out cover to even to those who don't respect him, who don't give him any honor. V'nosem v'notem v'emunah, this we discussed. V'lo yarba ba'richus ame oretz v'yishivasam. You know, the ame oretz that have nothing better to do with their time. They sit there idly wasting their time for hours. Don't sit in there. V'lo yirah tamid. How should people see him? El osik b'torah. They see how dedicated he is to this Torah. He's always preoccupied in Torah. Atuf b'tzitzis u'muchtar b'tfilin. He is surrounded with a talis and wearing tefillin on his head. So that itself has to be discussed. At the time of the Rambam, it was probably more commonplace for a person who was dedicated to Torah Sumnas, as we say, to total study of Torah. He was an Adam Gadol and so forth. So he would constantly wear tefillin the entire day. Not like we who wear tefillin for chakras and then we take them off. The Osa B'chol Masil Finish Adin. The Rambam says if such a person speaks so softly and he suffers, you know, the slings and arrows of their embarrassment, then he acts in a very clean and with a certain stature, almost an atzilut, we could say, the grace in which he carries himself. And people see him constantly being dedicated to Torah, to mitzvahs, to Hashem. And when it comes to interpersonal relations, he goes lifnei mishras hadin. You know, even if he has a percentage point that he owes some, possibility that he owes someone money, he'll pay that person. And he never separates and distances himself to uplift himself with any sort of gaiva that puts him outside of the camp of the people. It comes to the point where Baruch Hashem, everyone is Makaleso, so they praise him. All of him, and also they love him. It's Avim Lamaisa. They desire to imitate his every action. Hareza Kiddush Hashem. The Olav Akosiv Omer Vayomerli Avdi Ato Yisrael Asher Becha Espoir. That's where Hashem is Mispoir, with such a person that is praised, is highly respected by the people. They love him. And they desire to be close to him and to learn from his actions. That's Becha Espoir. That's the highest level of Kiddush Hashem. Yiratzon, we should be zocher to reach that level, each and every one of us, again, relative to those who are looking at us and learning from us. We should be zocher to do that. Ken Yiratzon.